we give away has a purpose on National Pancake Day. Through the generosity of our guests and the hard work and commitment of our franchisees and their team members, we will help fund life-saving treatment and care for children in need in our communities.
For more information, visit IHOPPancakeDay.com.
President Obama is moving forward with plans to nominate a Supreme Court justice, possibly in the next couple of weeks. Here's more from USA's Melody Burkett.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is defending the decision to ignore the president's nomination.
The American people deserve to be heard on this matter. That's the fairest and most reasonable approach today. Voters have already begun to choose the next president, who in turn will nominate the next Supreme Court justice. It's an important decision.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid.
We have a constitutional duty to do our jobs, and that duty is to give advice and consent to the president when he sends a nomination up here.
Reid accuses Republicans of continuing a pattern of partisan obstruction. A vacancy on the high court came about with the recent death of veteran conservative Justice Antonin Scalia. I'm Melody Burkett.
The editors of the website Christian Post are urging readers not to vote for Donald Trump. In the first political position the site has ever taken, it calls the Republican presidential frontrunner an exceptionally bad choice for president. You're listening to USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Figures from Google's data editor shows an increase in searches on how to move to Canada during the Super Tuesday election results. Sadie Haddock of Columbus, Ohio, moved to Windsor for school and says she'll stay there if Donald Trump is elected president.
If Donald Trump wins, I'm going to stay here in Windsor. I'm not going back to the States.
Simon Rogers with Google posted on Twitter that the search spiked 350% over 4 hours on Tuesday. It's unclear if the searches were from Democrats or Republicans reacting to the other party's results. The Canadian government has a website to determine eligibility to immigrate to Canada, which can take about $1,000 and up to 12 months to accomplish. Mark McCrimmon of Windsor supports Donald Trump and says he'll welcome any Americans who want to avoid the billionaire as president.
Come to Windsor, come to Canada.
Home flipping in some areas of the country could lead to a bubble in the housing market. A report published Thursday by RealtyTrack found that home flipping, buying and reselling a home to make a quick profit, is at a 10-year high in 12 metropolitan areas. Profits from home flipping are also at their highest since 2005, netting some home flippers an average of $55,000 per sale. Now, the report says home flipping leads to artificially inflated home prices that make housing less affordable, increasing the risk of a bubble. The peak in home flipping set in 2005 was just 2 years before the U.S. mortgage market started to collapse. Two Canadian plumbers say they found a valuable gold brick in a bathroom. The pair discovered it under a pile of rubble while renovating a client's bathroom and almost threw it away before they realized what it was. Two men did the right thing and returned it to its owners. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about affordable ways to promote your business, why Chick-fil-A wants to give you free ice cream, why now may be the best time to cash in your Sports Authority gift cards. I'll have 6 steps to reduce your email overload and 2 simple ways to manage your time more effectively. It's Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. I'll have all that and more starting right now on Taking Care of Business. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is about 12:06 here in Flemington, New Jersey. Time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. But before we get going with that, it's time to check the weather. Currently 31 degrees. A little chilly out there today. We're going to have some sun and then clouds with a high of 38 and a low of 27 tonight. And we also may be seeing a bit of snow later this evening. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with a bit of snow throughout the day and accumulations of 2 inches or less. There'll be a high of 39 degrees, a low of 22. For Saturday, we'll have some sun, then clouds with a high of 42 and a low of 27. And for Sunday, we're going to have periods of clouds and sun throughout the day with a high of 44 degrees and a low of 22. Well, you are listening to Taking Care of Business. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. We be taking care of business. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 62.46 to 16,836.86. The NASDAQ is down 24.90 to 4678.52. S&P 500 down 6.50 to 1979.95. Oil is up 33 cents to $34.99 per barrel. Gold is up $16.30 to $1,258.10 an ounce. Well, it was a great week, out here, and particularly for the Chamber of Commerce. Last Friday night, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, as well as having their annual meeting and dinner dance over at the I guess it used to be called the Grand Colonial. Now it's called the Farmstead, and had a great time there. New board members were installed. I was one of those, so it was an honor to be asked and then installed as a member of the board of directors here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to working with Chris and Laura and everybody here to make Hunterdon County one of the best, if it isn't already, places to do business and places for people to want to come to visit businesses. So obviously there's a tall order, but I think that we're all up for the challenge and a lot of dedicated people in the room that night. So looking forward to getting involved with that. And of course, if you spend any time listening to this show, you know about my, I don't know what you would call it. It's not an aversion and it's not an attraction. I'm not sure what it is, but it's silent auctions. You always want to help out organizations when they have a silent auction. So, my wife and I were looking around, and about a year or two ago, we ended up spending close to $1,000 at a JDRF fundraiser because I'm on the board there. And one of the things I noticed was nobody was bidding on anything. So I said, well, let me get the ball rolling. So I bid on like 6 items, and I thought if at least one person put their name on the sheet, then others would follow. Unfortunately, nobody did. So I went home with like 6 items I don't really need, including an autographed Rangers jersey. That my children want to burn an effigy. So last Friday night, we're at the silent auction, and there's a lot of great prizes from local businesses here in Hunterdon County. But there was one that caught my eye. And my son, Colin, is a criminal justice major in college. He's currently at UNC Charlotte. He'll be transferring up to Rutgers next year. And so I took a picture of what the prize was, and I said, would you be interested in this? And he shot back right away. It was the fastest response I think I ever got. And he goes, absolutely, this is great. So what it is spending a day with the Hunterdon County SWAT team, and he'll learn hostage negotiation tactics. He'll learn tactical training and then some medical training as well. And this is the type of work that he wants to be doing when he gets out of college. So it was a no-brainer. So, I put my name down, and then about an hour later, somebody put their name down. Now the bid's up another $50. And then finally, I went back and added another $50 to it. And so we finally, at the end of the night, we ended up winning the prize. But watching my wife was hysterical as she was guarding the table. She kept running into the room and telling me that, you know, there were people hanging around and they're looking at the prize and stuff like that. What should she do? And I was like, just relax. We're all good. You know, we'll see what happens. And so eventually we did win the prize. So I'm looking forward to having my son spend a day with the Hunterdon County SWAT team. I think that'll be a very good experience for him and something that will expose him to his future line of work. Well, Super Tuesday has come and gone, and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton scored big wins to lead their parties, and now it looks as if we have to say goodbye to another Republican candidate. Yes, it looks as if Dr. Ben Carson has stated that he will not participate in tonight's GOP debate in Detroit, saying that he sees no political path forward following a disappointing Super Tuesday finish. And are the Republicans shooting themselves in the foot? Now, as Donald Trump surges ahead in the polls and with delegates, many Republicans are actually campaigning against him. So instead of supporting the guy who is the front runner with the best chance of beating Hillary Clinton in the November general election, they are doing all they can to upset him, possibly leading to a brokered convention this summer. As we speak, Mitt Romney is giving a speech at Utah State, where he is calling Trump a fraud, a liar, a phony, and things like that. And I'm just confused here as far as what are the Republicans trying to accomplish? Because everybody, you started out with 17 candidates. I think the Democrats started out with 5. They're down to 2. The Republicans are down to 4.5 because Carson hasn't really declared that he's out of the race yet. But instead of trying to find the strongest candidate, the one that's going to bring the party forward into November to the general election, it seems like they're doing everything they can to tear it apart. And I'm just curious, they're seeing record numbers of people voting in the primaries and the caucuses. And it seems to be following, you know, Trump's lead, that he's the one who's bringing all these people to the polls. And rather than getting around him, maybe sitting him down, having Rice Priebus call him in and say, hey, let's talk about your candidacy. They're just doing everything they can to tear it apart. And I was on the treadmill this morning at the gym, and I was flipping through channels like crazy, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, CNBC, and the talk is all the same. How do we stop Trump? And I'm like, if you're the Republican Party, why do you want to stop the most popular guy, that candidate you've had in the past 30 years? So I'm a little confused. Going to be interesting to see what happens on the debates tonight. And then, of course, lurking in the shadows is Michael Bloomberg, who has not ruled out joining the race as a third-party candidate. You heard in the newscast before the show that people are Googling, how do I move to Canada in case Trump becomes the candidate? This is probably the most crazy election cycle, and I have been watching them since I was a kid, that I can ever remember. I don't ever remember a party not wanting not rallying behind the favorite candidate. And then with Mitt Romney getting more vocal over the last 2 weeks about a Trump candidacy, and keep in mind he was honored when Donald Trump endorsed him back in 2012, I have never been so confused about politics in my life. So tune in next week for another edition of How the Elephant Turns. It's going to be very interesting to see how this is all going to play out over the next several weeks as we head into the next big election day, which will be on the 15th. When we come back, we're going to take a look at affordable ways to promote your business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Sing it with me.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's Girl Scout cookie time.
With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you.
Oh, I was so excited last week. I got the text from Paige, my friend's daughter who's a Girl Scout, and she always commandeers his phone every year around this time to text all of the people in his contact list and say, hey, it's Girl Scout cookie time. What can I put you down for? And I'm like, Paige, I'll take 3 boxes of trefoils.
It's the happiest season of all.
Truer words have never been spoken. It is the happiest season of the year. Now, of course, this year it's a little different. I can't eat a whole sleeve of the beautiful Girl Scout trefoils. I'm going to have to ration them out, maybe 3 cookies a day because I'm on Weight Watchers, but definitely can't wait for the delivery of my Girl Scout cookies and my trefoils. Love them.
There'll be much mistletoeing.
I'll be mistletoeing. I'll be crumbling all over my shirts. I just can't wait. And then there's a young lady in my neighborhood who is also a Girl Scout, and she stopped by the house. And I bought 2 more boxes from her. So I should have a pretty lengthy supply if I ration them out by just 3 cookies a day. I could carry this into July or August. This will be great. So definitely looking forward to Girl Scout cookie time. Did you see what Chris Rock did during the Academy Awards? He brought his daughter's Girl Scout troop out with cookies. And he shamed the actors into buying cookies. The total take from that night, both from people who bought boxes or donations, $65,000. So that was a phenomenal way. I don't know that Paige is going to reach those levels, but we wish her the very best in those endeavors. So I'm going to keep track. I love the stories that you hear every year of how creative the Girl Scouts get in selling their cookies. One girl about a week or so ago was camped out in front of a pot shop in Denver. So, you know, you're going to get the munchies. You better have something to munch on. So I thought that was a unique take on it. And if we hear of any more creative ways that the Girl Scouts are selling the cookies, I'll definitely pass them along over the next couple of shows. Now, we talked about before the break, affordable ways to promote your business. And the story is written in a way where it's designed for your new business. But really, there are so many businesses that I deal with on a regular basis that aren't promoting themselves at all. You know, and so here are some affordable ways to do it, low cost, that you should be able to incorporate into your business. Now, trying to promote your business or a startup can be difficult, especially if you don't have a plan to reach your target audience. And there are a variety of online tools available to get the publicity you need to bring more customers to your door. Most of these tools are also very affordable, even for businesses with little to no marketing budget. So here are some of the best affordable ways that you can promote your business. First, you want to obviously create a website. Now, in today's connected world, this might be a no-brainer. However, almost half of all small businesses in the United States still do not have a website for their business, according to reports by the research firm Clutch. So if your business lacks an online presence, you'll want to start with getting your domain name and go from there. Even the cheapest domain name registration companies can provide you with all the tools you'll need to get started, including online web builders, so you don't have to hire an expensive design firm to do the job for you. You also want to start utilizing social media. Now, creating social media accounts for your business across the various platforms available is another great way to promote your business without spending a dime. However, if you want your social media accounts to work well at building an audience, you will have to spend plenty of time cultivating a following and creating content that has the potential to be shared and engaged by consumers. Don't make the rookie mistake of only using your social media accounts for advertising. That is the quickest way to lose your brand's footing in this digital world. Whether you're creating content or simply sharing good content created by others, make sure that it comes full circle back to your business. You also want to sign up for an email service. Another way to reach your customers is to send regular emails, and this can be done through companies like Constant Contact or Robly, or you can do it yourself through your own email address. Now, these can be an announcement for a sale, news about upcoming products, or information about perks available to loyal customers. No matter what you are using your email list for, you will need an email service that can be able to create templates and manage your customer list or subgroup list. Many of these services offer a basic free account, but some of the extras that these services offer for a small fee can be beneficial to your business. The easiest way to know what you need to start is with the free service and then work your way up from there. Most email services let you buy into the next service level as your business grows. And some final thoughts. These are just a few of the online tools that you can use to promote your business in an impactful and affordable way. Not every tool will work for every business, so it's important to test the ones that you think work best for your brand. So just a couple of tips, and I'm surprised as I talk to business owners how many don't have the very basics, like a website, like a Facebook page. I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and I said, you have to be on at least four social media platforms, those being Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and you can try to use, you know, Pinterest, but you definitely want Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn for your business. And now LinkedIn has where you can build company pages. So again, invest the time. Don't watch Dancing with the Stars one night. Help build your page on Facebook or something like that, but get your company out there and then make sure that you get your customers to like that page. I really like this next story, and I brought this up. I posted something about this on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and I just got a tremendous response. I think the most responses I've ever got with likes and things like that. But now Chick-fil-A, which is new to the borough of Flemington here and nationwide with their franchisee program, has come up with a program where they're going to give you free ice cream if you'll just put your stupid cell phone down for 5 minutes. Now, I get it. Everybody's important. The planet faces imminent danger if you're not available to return a text. Your at mentions need to be responded to. But also, this Chick-fil-A is exotic and new, and your Instagram followers crave evidence that you've actually eaten there, lest they question you later and you can't come up with a receipt for your waffle fries. But here's the thing. Maybe it's not that important. And I always challenge young people. How many texts have you ever gotten? I do this with my nieces at Christmas and my nephews at Christmas. How many texts have you ever got where the world was going to come to an end? And I don't mean, you know, Bobby's breaking up with Susie or something like that, but where it was earth-shattering, you have to run out the door in your underwear because that text was so important you had to be somewhere. And the answer usually comes back, never. It's the same thing. But everywhere I go, I just see people with that screen glued to their hand, facing their eyeballs. And a woman today in the gym, as I'm on the treadmill, from the time she walked out of the locker room all the way to the front door, her face was plastered to that screen. She had to see what was going on. So all those texts and emails and updates, they're really not all that important. And you can carve out a little bit of time during the day to do it. But why would you do it at the lunch or dinner table when you're surrounded by friends or family? So maybe you can just chill a little and eat your sandwich and talk about how together everyone feels eating their fast food chicken. But maybe you need motivation to put your phone down. Some kind of a reward, perhaps? Well, if that's the case, more than 150 Chick-fil-A's are happy to accommodate you and your family with what they're calling a cell phone coop, in which you can incubate your iPhones until they turn into an ice cream cone. And basically what this is a little box. You get your box when you place your order. And if you want to take that challenge, everybody puts their phone in the box and you close it up, eat your meals, talk, converse. And if you've successfully completed that challenge, you bring... you go back up to the counter, you let them know that you completed the challenge, and you get a small ice cream cone. Now, of course, it would be awesome if your phone literally turned into an ice cream cone, but by the time you're done eating with the coop, which relies on the honor system, it's the next best thing. It's the creation of franchisee Brad Williams, and the coop allows patrons to just eat their meals in relative peace and without any emoji involvement. So here's Williams' take. He said, as we all know, technology increasingly demands more of our time and can be a big distraction even while we're eating. Williams said in a statement, "The thing that got me about this was we could do it to reduce this distraction during meals." No word on whether single diners can also enjoy the luxury of the cell phone coupe, or would that just be a little too weird, just sitting there eating your sandwich without staring at your phone? And there's also the issue of the service not being available everywhere yet. In fact, Fortune magazine suggests that you call up your local store and ask whether they're offering the promotion before just heading down there and demanding your free cone of fun. Seems like a lot of hassle, but free ice cream is free ice cream, right? So congratulations to Chick-fil-A. I think that's a great program. And another thing that people do now that I've seen and we've participated in is when you go out to a restaurant with friends, everybody stacks their cell phones face down on the table, and then when the first person who lifts up their phone, they have to pay the bill. So that will probably give you a little motivation to just leave the phone alone. And again, the question I always ask is there anything so important, anything so earth-shattering that it can't wait for that 15, 20 minutes that it takes you to eat your meal? Currently 12:26, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. Glad to be with you. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And, you know, love coming here every Thursday, love preparing for the show, and had a good time last night because there was just so much content that I didn't think we were going to be able to get through all of it today. So now I'm just trying to pick which one is the one we're going to talk about next, and then we'll get right back on track. Well, there's two simple ways to manage your time effectively, and I've been asked many times to help people with time management strategies, and it seems that regardless of their profession or type of industry, many people feel the need to add to their time management skills as they are constantly drowning in workload. And we can all relate to the ever-increasing workload, but forgive me when I say each time I stand up in front of business people to discuss time management, I wonder what on earth I'm doing there. I look out at the sea of faces, and I invariably see a group of highly intelligent, resourceful, focused individuals who have proven themselves hundreds of times over in terms of time management. If they hadn't, they wouldn't be such high achievers. People don't otherwise accumulate academic achievements, an abundance of skills, or lucrative lifestyles. So I've thought about this dilemma for some time, and this is what I've come up with. To a certain extent, the problem lies in being overwhelmed by incomplete tasks or in being found out so I can't ask a question for fear of looking inept, in not asking for help for fear of looking stupid, for fear of delegating in case those I delegate to don't do the jobs as well as me, fear of losing control, or fear of letting a piece of work go because it's not quite perfect. Now, this isn't a time management problem. It's a fear problem. Most of us know and use various time management techniques from dedicated lists to delegation, but in truth, how much time do we truly spend on 100% uninterrupted, focused work? Now, the latter point is huge. Interruptions, false starts, and procrastination cloud our perception of how much time we actually spend productively, and we tend to compound this with unrealistic ideas as to how long a task or project could take. Such a stressful way to start our workday, and of course, we all know how destructive stress can be. As soon as the brain secretes more of the stress hormone cortisol than is usual, we are wired to narrow down our focus to concentrate on the perceived threat for survival. The side effect of this is that we can no longer think broadly about our work, and crucially, we can no longer think creatively to do our jobs well. With this in mind, I remembered a book I used to read to my kids. It's a beautiful book with a different story in each chapter, but each chapter began the same way. The stories always began with the child approaching a worry tree, where they would be encouraged to pin all their worries on the trunk of the tree. Once the task was completed, they would open a door and enter the tree. Once inside, a whole host of magical journeys lay in front of them to choose, such as floating on clouds or rocking gently in boats, but naturally the child would drift off into a worry-free sleep. Now, we all love that book, so why can't we just do this as adults? I don't suggest you enter a tree and go off on a magical journey at the start of your workday, but the worry tree is a splendid idea. Dumping concerns on sticky notes of paper can help clear your head to get on with the tasks that need to be done. You can always go back to the concerns once you have achieved a few goals. Now, in line with this way of thinking is how to manage your diary. Many associates of mine insist on putting their vacations into the diary before anything else, along with time, and when I say diary, I mean like calendar, along with time to spend with family and friends. Block out some time for exercise and anything else that is going to help your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Once the leisure pursuits are in place, it's amazing how you can see realistically what time is left to get some work done. And it seems to galvanize people into focusing and just getting on with it. firm in the knowledge that playtime is just around the corner. Perfect setup for the brain is to produce a cocktail of feel-good neurotransmitters to make us feel even more efficient. Now, in that context, shrinking fear by parking worries and prioritizing pleasant pursuits is a far more productive way of working efficiently. Time management may not be so elusive after all. I was working with a client of mine a couple years ago, and she would tell me she would get to the office around 7:45 in the morning, work all day, and she wouldn't leave the office till 10:30 at night. And when I finally challenged her and said, I need you to leave every night by 6:30, she said what it did was it forced her to get all her work done during the day instead of just saying, oh, I'll get to it later after we close. And so it was very helpful, and she was able to enjoy more time with her husband and her children and things like that. So hopefully by prioritizing, you know, your work, by making those little post-it note checklists of what needs to be done, it'll free up some free time for you as well. We're going to take a break for a quick news check-in, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Sports Authority and why now may be the best time for you to cash in your gift cards. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
I just haven't seen what he's going to say yet. I haven't seen these excerpts.
House Speaker Paul Ryan was asked on Fox and Friends about the upcoming speech by former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, but Ryan is refusing to weigh in on his former presidential running mate's takedown of Donald Trump.
He's very worried about the future of our party and our country. He's a principled conservative, and he's got a lot to say, and I look forward to seeing what he has to say.
Mitt Romney denounced Trump as a phony and a fraud in his speech today. Romney says Trump's promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. Romney adds that Trump has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president, and his foreign policies would make America and the world less safe. The Republican field of presidential candidates will take the stage at the Fox Theater in Detroit tonight for their 11th debate. There'll be four candidates on hand after Dr. Ben Carson announced yesterday that he'd be skipping the event. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by IHOP. IHOP is sharing the love. On March 8th, pancake lovers nationwide will once again flock to their participating local IHOP restaurant to enjoy one free short stack of buttermilk pancakes in celebration of the brand's annual National Pancake Day. Now in its 11th year, IHOP restaurants will give away millions of free pancakes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to guests dining in-restaurant and ask them to leave behind a voluntary donation for their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Shriners Hospital for Children, and other local charities. Participating IHOP restaurants supporting Children's Miracle Network Hospitals will also sell Miracle Balloons for $1 and $5. The balloons will be available for purchase beginning February 1st through March 8th. Darren Rebelez, President, IHOP.
Every pancake we give away has a purpose on National Pancake Day. Through the generosity of our guests and the hard work and commitment of our franchisees and their team members, we will help fund life-saving treatment and care for children in need in our communities.
For more information, visit IHOPPancakeDay.com.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Glad you could join us, as we do every Thursday. And so looking forward to next week's show as well. Well, Sports Authority has recently moved into Flemington here in the old Borders location. And now Sports Authority, the chain, has filed for bankruptcy protection. So the big box chain Sports Authority lost its bid to remain in the retail game without a dramatic restructuring, as the company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on Wednesday. The retailer, which is owned by Los Angeles-based private equity firm Leonard Green & Partners, said it would seek to sell or close about 140 stores, or nearly one-third of its locations. The company admitted that it had lost market share to online retailers, became swamped with $1.1 billion in debt, and failed to keep up with consumer trends such as golf's decline in popularity. Although bankruptcy protection often offers companies a second chance at life, Englewood, Colorado-based Sports Authority's survival is not guaranteed. The company said it would pursue either a comprehensive debt restructuring plan or a sale of all or some of its assets. We are taking this action so that we can continue to adapt our business to meet the changing dynamics in the retail industry, Sports Authority CEO Michael E. Foss said in a statement. We intend to use the Chapter 11 process to streamline and strengthen our business both operationally and financially so that we have the financial flexibility to continue to make necessary investments in our operations. The company, which filed for bankruptcy protection in a federal court in Delaware, currently operates 463 stores with about 13,000 employees in 40 states and Puerto Rico. Its top 10 unsecured creditors include Nike, which is owed $47.9 million, and Under Armour, which is owed $23.2 million. Sports Authority's private equity owner took the retailer private after acquiring it for $1.3 billion in 2006. In the 1990s, the company was held by Kmart before being spun off. The retailer said it posted a net loss of $156.6 million with total revenue of $2.6 billion in the fiscal year of January 30th. In retail bankruptcy organizations, a sale could come to competitors or investors who plan to keep the company afloat in some capacity or to a liquidator that plans to sell the remaining assets to the highest bidder. Foss said in a statement that the company has received strong interest from third parties interested in buying some or all of the company. In addition to the 140 stores it plans to offload, the company also plans to close distribution centers in Chicago and Denver. Ken Rosen, who is a Lowenstein Sandler attorney who has represented bankrupt retailers but is not involved in this case, said Sports Authority would likely liquidate a portion of its inventory and sell its most valuable leases to competitors such as Dick's Sporting Goods or to other retailers. The value of their locations will depend on their proximity to other stores held by those companies. Liquidation sales at up to 140 stores will begin on Friday if the company wins approval for its motion from the bankruptcy judge. Chief Financial Officer Jeremy Aguilar said that in a court filing, store managers and salespeople at the affected stores could get bonuses for staying with the company through completion, a routine measure in retail liquidations. Rosen noted that liquidators often haul in additional inventory to sell during going out of business sales, meaning that early deals may not be as lucrative as later discounts. The company, legally incorporated as TSA Stores, said it has secured access to up to $595 million in bankruptcy financing that will help keep its doors open for now. The financing is contingent upon approval for the liquidation sales. Sports Authority said customers would still be able to use gift cards, but bankruptcy experts often advise customers to spend store gift cards quickly when a retailer files for bankruptcy because those gift cards can be rendered effectively worthless if the restructuring converts to an all-out liquidation. One of the company's biggest assets may be its brand name, which could be sold off to a competitor or an online retailer. So, sad to see another big box retailer having trouble, but it looks like the end could be near for Sports Authority. And again, if you have Sports Authority gift cards, now that we're just coming out of the Christmas season, maybe you bought some, might be a good time to go buy that pair of sneakers that you were thinking about. Well, there are six steps in this next story on how to tame your email overload. And this is one of the principal complaints that I get from people all the time. Is there a way to manage it? Is there a way to make it go away so that I'm only getting emails in my inbox that pertain to my business? You know, with spam and everything else, it's very hard to control this four-headed dragon. But a lot of times, with just a couple of tweaks, you might be able to help yourself out and slow down the volume that you're receiving. So if you're drowning in email, this may be the lifeline. And despite the rumors of its demise, the truth is that email is still very much alive and kicking. In fact, a 2015 survey commissioned by Adobe found that we spend roughly 30 hours each week checking our email. And that's the equivalent of a demanding part-time job. Most people's emails is just teeming with all the stuff they need to do, says Maura Thomas, who's the founder of the productivity website RegainYourTime.com and author of Personal Productivity Secrets. The key to slaying the email dragon is multifaceted, but it really boils down to better email and workflow management. The goal here isn't necessarily inbox zero. Instead, the experts advise adopting an array of useful tools and practices to help your email messaging system be a more efficient communication tool that doesn't eat up most of your day. So here are the six tips they want you to try. First is slow the flow of what's coming in. The first step to making your inbox less overwhelming is to slow the flow of what's coming in, and that means unsubscribing to all of those newsletters, promotional email messages, and other non-essential email messages. Thomas uses SpamDrain. Other services like Unroll.me round up your promotional email messages and newsletters and then let you unsubscribe in a single click. Those you want to keep are organized into a single email delivery each day. To cut down on future junk email messages, establish an email address to use for subscriptions and online purchases only. This way you can check them when you want to. Step two is to set policies. Now, another way to cut email inflow is to work at a higher level to set policies within your organization, Thomas says. It seems basic, but a fair amount of FYI email messaging can be cut down by simply giving people guidelines about when they should copy team members and when it's not necessary. Step three, use good collaboration tools. With increasing adoption of collaboration tools like Slack, HipChat, and even Google Docs. Information exists in a place where people can easily access it instead of sending email inquiries, says Ron Webb, who's the director of Open Standards Research and Information Systems at the Houston-based American Productivity and Quality Center, an organization that helps companies get work done more efficiently and effectively. Using such tools when they are appropriate may cut down on inquiry emails, since colleagues can simply refer to the collaboration tools, which are often searchable and have the latest version of the documents and projects. You also want to do step four, which is scan and sort. Now, while traditional time management experts tell you to handle correspondence once, Thomas advises doing a quick scan and sort. And this allows you to pick out the most important messages and file or transfer those that need to be dealt with later when you have the time. She also encourages people to use the delete button with more abandon. What's the worst that can happen if you deleted that message? If the answer is not much, how'd it go? In step five, they want you to integrate your calendars and task lists. Now, how many times have you kept an email as a reminder of something you needed to do or someplace you needed to be? And for me, messages in the email inbox represent one thing, decisions I have not made, says time management consultant Frank Buck, who is the author of Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. Too many people don't use the calendar and task functions available to them, which can cut the glut of email messages. If it's a reminder about somewhere you need to be, note that in your calendar, Buck says. Simply drag the email to your calendar in Outlook or use Gmail's More option to create an event. Similarly, you can use a web-based task manager to keep track of your to-do list. Once the email is logged, then delete it. Step 6, create the right filing system. Yes, you should digitally file your email. Sometimes messages can't be dealt with right away, or they need to be kept for research or documentation purposes. Webb suggests looking at the type of email message you get and why you need to keep them, and then create a filing system that works for you. It may be as simple as having broad message categories such as department, group, action items, etc., or you can create a more detailed system that files by project name or subject area. Now, you need to keep the email as part of a paper trail? Use your email services archive function, which will take it out of your inbox, but will still leave it accessible to you, he says. I'll tell you, the one thing in that story that I really liked was that unroll.me. I think I'm going to be trying that after I get off the show, because I get so much junk mail that, I hate having to even click on it to delete it. I just want it gone. And if this is a system that will work, I am all for it. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 6 skills of self-made millionaires and how to develop those skills for yourself. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host. Glad to be with you as we are every Thursday at this time for another edition of Taking Care of Business.
I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Again. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Again. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
Yes, we all remember that from Bugs Bunny cartoons when... They were doing a little mind warp there, and Bugs thought that he was actually Elmer J. Fudd. But the reason I say that is, and in my family, we've always teased a lot about that sentence. I'm Elmer J. Fudd. I'm a millionaire on a mansion and a yacht. You know, and that could be when you win a $2 lottery scratch-off ticket. But I always believe, and several stories have been written about how if you want to be successful, you have to surround yourself with successful people. You have to adopt their habits, their traits. You know, we can all march to our own beat and just keep, you know, doing what we do. But if we don't change and we don't adopt the habits of successful people, or we don't find out what works for them, then we're never really going to grow. So you should heed the advice of those who have reaped success. And here are six skills used by self-made millionaires that you should be using and building upon each day. Number one, you want to be able to identify fruitful opportunities. Now, Carlos Slim Helu, a Mexican business magnate and philanthropist, said, "When there is a crisis, that's when some are interested in getting out, and that's when we are interested in getting in." So you want to learn to identify how to open doors when they appear, and then consider the risks and weigh them against the potential benefits. An opportunity can be a great one, regardless of whether no one or everyone is rushing to grab it. If no one is, that's your cue to move forward. And if everyone is, well, that's your chance to prove that you're better than the rest. Number two, you want to focus on actions over words. Actions speak louder than words, and supposedly, the late Andrew Carnegie agreed. As his career grew, he said, "As I grow older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do." Now, understand that a shining business plan or investment presentation means little when you don't demonstrate the ability to carry out your ideas well. Customers and clients want to see flawless application of your company's core values and mission statement. So keep this formula in mind when seeking out employees as well. A perfect resume doesn't necessarily constitute a perfect employee if that person can't properly act on his qualifications and intentions. Number three, you want to maintain a clear vision of success. Now, vision is perhaps our greatest strength. It has kept us alive to the power and continuity of thought through the centuries. It makes us peer into the future, and it lends shape to the unknown. Hong Kong business magnate Lee Ka-shing, the richest person in all of Asia, believes in vision as a motivational tool for success. What does success look like to you? If your answer is just a lot of money, this may not be the story for you. Many people envision success as finally seeing their product on store shelves, making up for initial overhead costs, gaining a certain following, or changing the community in which they live. In order to stay on track toward fulfilling your goals, it's important to maintain a clear vision of what that goal is and what things will look like once it's achieved. Number four, you never want to stop learning. Entrepreneurs who don't acknowledge the need to constantly learn new things are denying themselves and their businesses the chance to grow. Even once you achieve some degree of success, understand that those around you, even those who are less successful, know something that you don't. Listen to what others have to say about their experiences. Learn from their achievements and also from their mistakes. If you don't want to base your development on other people, try taking a step back and exploring the areas of entrepreneurship you can still improve upon. Elon Musk, who is the founder of PayPal, SpaceX, and Tesla Motors, says, "That's the single best piece of advice. Constantly think about how you could be doing things better and questioning yourself." And then don't forget to listen to the end of this show for how I close each program. Number five, get the job done. Now, this one sounds simple, but you're likely procrastinating without even knowing it. Those who spend an immense amount of time marketing a business before there's even a business to advertise are putting off actually building the brand. Now, the same goes for those who spend time attempting to perform web or graphic design themselves, obsessively organizing finances or legal paperwork, and so on. Even as an entrepreneur, you can't wear every hat, and it's often smart to assign tasks that aren't immediately related to building your business to someone else. Don't be afraid to ask for help from a small team of employees or some remote freelancers if it means that you'll be able to turn your company into everything you dreamed. Getting the job done has been the basis for the success my company has achieved, said Michael Bloomberg, who's an entrepreneur, investor, and former mayor of New York City. And six, only hire rock stars. You can't exemplify greatness if the people who make up your company aren't great, too. Now, you want to also make a point of carefully selecting those you hire on your teams, even if it takes a little extra time. You don't like to go in with heavy... you want people who are going to have a heavy dose of what we call GSD, get stuff done. And, you know, as we have such grand expectations for our employees, we always make sure to, or you want to always make sure to treat them as if they're more than that, almost as if they're family. So you want to give them the flexibility if they have, if their job allows for it, to work from anywhere, provide bonuses from time to time, and to thank them always for their trustworthiness and flexible capability. The extra appreciation certainly goes a long way in enhancing work ethic and promoting remote teamwork. So there are six ways that you can improve upon your business and six skills of self-made millionaires that hopefully maybe one or two of those are things that you can see in your business and apply to your work habits that will help you grow and be more successful as well. All right. Currently 12:51, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Let's talk about three productivity tips that you can start using today. This is another area, and over the past 2 months, I've asked if you have story ideas or questions, give me a call, email me, or something like that. And it seems, I don't know how to put it, it seems as if people who are otherwise successful, again, it may come to fear, it may come to anxiety, but they have concerns over their own abilities. And keep in mind, you didn't build your business without knowing what you were doing, or at least having a pretty good roadmap along the way. But productivity is something that keeps coming back. Efficiency is something, a topic that keeps coming up. So here's three productivity tips that you can start using today. Now, when a major product is about to launch or your team is scheduled to make an important presentation, it's easy to ride the wave of deadline-induced adrenaline spikes and push yourself to work every waking moment. Of course, that's not sustainable, and we will inevitably crash. So how can you make productivity habitual and lasting? The first step is to understand that productivity means optimizing your entire life and not just work. A well-designed personal life supports your efforts at work, and being strategic about when and how you work is what lets you have a rich personal life. So figure out ways for them to complement each other. Wharton professor Stu Friedman has developed the concept of the four-way win, a framework that asks us to consider how one activity can ideally influence us positively in multiple areas: our personal life, professional life, community or civic relationships, and in health, mental, physical, and spiritual. Now, for example, instead of wolfing down a sandwich at your desk, if you eat a healthy lunch with a coworker you like, you're simultaneously benefiting your health, your professional life, and your sense of community. You might not normally consider eating lunch to be a productive activity, but seen through Friedman's lens, you're actually hitting multiple goals. Next, when you're considering your to-do list, it's important to match the task to the amount of focus necessary to accomplish the goal. Tony Schwartz has written in HBR about the importance of managing your energy, not your time, which includes sensible advice like getting enough sleep and taking short renewal breaks approximately every 90 minutes. One additional innovation that can allow you to wring more productivity out of your day is to keep a list of tasks that you must accomplish but require relatively little mental energy. It takes me substantially more brain power to write an article or a story than to read one, for instance, so I've learned to schedule my writing when I'm happening in the morning at my freshest. And as the day progresses, my ability to be creative diminishes, but I can still extend my productive workday by at least an hour or two if I can find my brain dead time to low stakes but necessary tasks like reading books for research or catching up on email discussion groups. If your circadian rhythms differ, you can reverse the process by starting slow and then tackling more productive work later in the day. Each person is different. And it's also important to use short bursts of time as well. Now, most of us could make a serious dent in our work if we had an uninterrupted block of 3 or 4 hours to finally finish that report. But for most professionals, having that amount of blank space on your calendar is a pipe dream. Though trying to schedule large blocks of times or more introspective or sustained work is a worthwhile goal, our calendars most often are pockmarked with staccato 30 or 60-minute breaks in between an array of webinars, conference calls, and meetings. Because those blocks are so short, planning out how we're going to spend them doesn't seem necessary. Most of us just default to answering email or worse, getting caught up in social media vortex until it's time to head to the next obligation. Instead, take a cue from give and take author Adam Grant, a noted productivity overachiever, who says, I have lots of micro goals of trying to get things done, whatever the amount of time available. My version of this idea is to examine the next day's calendar the night before, identify the gaps in your schedule, and create a list of what you want to accomplish during them. Now, it might change in the moment. If a reporter has a breaking news story, the editor might have to abandon the original plan and return the message instead. But having a sense of what you should be doing during those short periods, ordering the plane tickets, writing the recommendation letter, or uploading an Amazon review for a person's book or something, keeps you on target and dissuades you from frittering away those short spurts of time. Over the span of a week or so, they add up. Now, like a crash diet, it's easy to go heads down for a short period of time, but no human can focus solely on work for 12 or 16 hours a day, every day. Even the most ambitious, motivated person can't sustain that level of focus without seeing their performance ultimately suffer. The secret to productivity is sustaining your commitment and keeping up your discipline over time. By understanding what productivity really means to you, matching your energy to the task at hand, and leveraging even short amounts of free time, you can make serious progress on the most important goals. So hopefully that's a couple of tips there on how you can increase your productivity, and hopefully they will work for you. So a lot going on in this week's show. Hopefully you got a little bit out of it from the standpoint of productivity and time management, things like that, and we'll have a lot more next week. I'm going to be writing an article for LinkedIn called The View from 10,000 Feet. And this is an exercise I do every now and then with clients and then in my own business, where I imagine going up in a hot air balloon or a helicopter and hovering above my business. And what I try to look at is what's going on inside from an objective view. I think every business owner or every person has to do that from time to time in their business. And hopefully I'll be able to share that article with you next week. But everything from looking at your competition, looking at your current customers, and then identifying new customers. Hopefully, this will help you as you approach your business over the next couple of weeks and months. In sports, in NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson won last week's race in Atlanta, tying him with Dale Earnhardt Sr. with 76 career wins. Also, NASCAR CEO Brian France announced that he was endorsing Donald Trump for president. In the NFL, the Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins has agreed to a one-year contract worth $19.95 million, which is just shy of what I make during this show, to continue as their quarterback. In Major League Baseball, spring training is underway, and in the NCAA basketball, this is one year when it doesn't pay to be ranked number one in the AP Top 25 because it doesn't last long. Kansas now holds down the top spot, followed by Michigan State, Villanova, Virginia, and Xavier. Oklahoma, Miami, North Carolina, Oregon, and West Virginia round out the top 10. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that helps guide me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business, and working overtime, working out. At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide